Church, let's begin in prayer, praying that God would speak through His Spirit as we engage with His Word. Father in heaven, it is a wonder of all wonders that You would entrust what is precious to You within such weak and fragile vessels as we are. Lord Jesus, we believe You when You say that apart from You we can do nothing. And so we pray that Your Spirit would do what only He can do now as we hear Your Word in faith, that You will produce the fruit of faith and repentance in our lives. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I sat down to prepare this sermon and think a little bit about it a few weeks ago, I had one of our ministry trainees come in and ask me to check my CommBank app on my phone to see if it was working. And so when I logged in, I saw a message there on it which said, "Important message. We're aware some customers are experiencing difficulty accessing some of our services, and we are urgently investigating. We are sorry for any inconvenience, and thank you for your patience." And straight away it got me thinking, why do they assume that I'll be patient? Now, honestly, it took me about 4 weeks to come up with an answer to that. But I realize they have to assume that I'll be patient, or else they'd have to assume that because of this inconvenience, I'll be pulling my money out and taking it elsewhere. And even a bank could assume that I would deal with this inconvenience in a way that enabled our relationship to continue. And they were right to presume on my patience. I didn't think about sacking the Commonwealth Bank at that particular point in time. What they probably didn't know is that I did sack Vodafone about 15 years earlier for a similar inconvenience. There, my patience wore out. But this also helped me to clarify a definition for patience to work with this evening. And that definition is the ability to endure difficult circumstances well. All right, patience is the ability to endure difficult circumstances well, so that we can keep our integrity and maintain our relationships. So who needs to be patient? Anyone who wants to endure difficult circumstances well to keep their integrity and maintain relationships. And it's strangely ironic, actually, for me to speak on this topic because patience has been something that has been severely tested in my life lately. And I'm coming to understand the Lord's will for me in this area in a very significant way. Now, I don't know if you've heard it said, but you don't know how selfish you are till you get married. And you don't know how angry you are until you have children. I realized that all that is true for me, and that it is a direct result of my lack of patience with my kids, with my wife, with the church, and ultimately with God. But praise God for His Word and His will that we understand it so that we can repent in light of it, and praise God for inspiring James to speak as directly as he does to this topic. I want to begin by drawing your attention to James chapter 5 verse 7. We'll read the first sentence of this verse. And notice he says there, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." Right, a straight out command to be patient. And every reason in the world to obey it, he attaches that command to the coming of the Lord. which I hope you notice is not so much a how to obey as it is a reason to obey. Right? He says, remember the day of the Lord, coming to execute judgment upon his enemies, to reward his servants. And James anchors this command to be patient, along with this warning to wake up those who are sleepy and getting tired, and at the same time to encourage those who are passionately persevering. And nothing does that more effectively than when our minds are drawn to consider the second coming of Christ. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this criticism of Christians, but some say that Christians are so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly good. But I agree with C.S. Lewis, who's that Christian guy who wrote the series of Narnia. He said that if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely the ones who thought most of the next. And this seems to be James's line of reasoning here. He motivates patience here and now by directing our minds to this heavenly reality of Christ's second coming. And so it'll be good for us, church, to consider that day. And put yourself in the position of someone who is alive when that trumpet call is heard. And you look up and you see the heavens disappear with a roar, and the nations mourn as they see Christ coming in all his glory. James wants us to consider that day in order to motivate patience in us, along with every other fruit of the Spirit, so that we would remain faithful in our relationships with each other by enduring difficult circumstances well for his sake. And because James is such a good teacher, just like his Lord and ours, he attaches an illustration to the command to help them to better understand it. I want you to look with me at the back of verse 7, the back end of verse 7, to see the illustration he uses here. He says there, "See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. Will you also be patient? Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Now, I'm not going to assume that many of us here have farming experience, but James is assuming his readers will literally see this principle play itself out before their eyes. For us, in the 21st century, you might have to do a bit of work to put the pieces together. But even so, we know that what you plant today doesn't spring up tomorrow. Especially in the ancient world, where what you plant today won't even necessarily receive the water that it needs to sprout. Right? No rain means no water, and no water means no fruit. And it's the perfect illustration for patience as a fruit of the Spirit, because if we want to produce the Spirit's fruit, we have no choice but to wait for him. And not passively, but as the hard-working farmer who sows and waits and prays, sows and waits and prays, until God in his time brings the rain. Now, those who lack patience, they can't wait, can they? And so they lose hope sowing. And along with that, they lose their motivation to work. They grow lazy. They go hungry. And they fail to reap the reward, the precious fruit of the earth. And it's made all the worse because ever since the book of Genesis, I think it's the end of chapter 8, God promised that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day, night, it shall not cease. Like God made a promise that it will come. If you have the patience to wait, we know the harvest is coming. God will bring the rains, both physically and spiritually, so we have every reason not to give up. We can sow to please the Spirit in faith and confidence that in His time, God will bring the growth to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. And we should acknowledge that this is particularly hard in our modern world. I've heard it said, never has a generation been so easily distracted and so easily pleased. And yet patience, along with every other fruit of the Spirit, it cannot be rushed. Because it's God who needs to bring the growth. So often, don't we experience the fact that soon ripened, soon rotten? You heard of that one? But that's not how God works. I want you to notice there in verse 8, the way James reaffirms the command to be patient, it was again in light of the coming of the Lord. Be patient because the Lord is coming. And I have to level with you here, this has been one of the biggest shifts in my way of thinking in particularly these past 6 months. You know, when I came to know Jesus, it was back in 2009, the guy who shared the gospel with me was certain that Jesus was coming back within 6 months. And so, from the time I became a Christian, it was like, yalla, get going. And I think that's true. It's a good principle to hold for those who don't yet know the Lord. All right, there's a real urgency in the gospel call, because the offer of forgiveness that is on the table now, it may not be there tomorrow. And if the Lord returns, that door that stands open in heaven today is shut. And we know that what He shuts, no one can open. But as James speaks to the church, it's not run or even save yourselves from this wicked generation. It's be patient. And wait, as if they need to settle down in order to remain faithful. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't work hard, but we have to learn to labor, trusting that the weight of the world is not on us, but on the one who promised to do the work through us. And that as we go, He will produce the fruit that will adorn our lives as He makes us more like Christ by the power of His Spirit to prepare us for His return. I'll tell you why, from personal experience, this has been such a revelation to me. Since I responded to the gospel in 2009, I've been running. I was in Christ for 18 months and I ran into a ministry apprenticeship that lasted for 2 years. The moment that finished, I ran into a 4-year theological degree. During that 4 years, I ran into marriage. I ran into fatherhood. I had 2 kids. I renovated a house in the last year of my college degree. That finished at the end of 2016, and we planted the church in February 2017. In 2019, we relocated the church from Smithfield to Middleton Grange. We ran there. COVID hit in 2020, got through that. My wife and I decided to run into foster caring in 2021. Had 4 kids through our home that year. By the end of 2021, we decided we were ready to have a fourth child, so we had a little foster girl, a two-year-old, come into our home. She'll be with us now till she's 18. And as I look back on it, I'll be honest with you, I was frustrated the whole time by those around me who did not work as hard. And then in February 2022, my wife broke down and had a chronic anxiety attack and had to be admitted into a private mental hospital for 4 weeks. And while she was in there, I had no idea if she was ever going to come out. And everything came to a stop. I stepped down from my role as pastor. And as I reflected on the past 10 years, I realized, being from Fairfield, I knew how to hustle. But I did not know how to wait upon the Lord. With all the right intentions, I had not been patient with the church, with my family, with my wife, or with the Lord. And it was my wife who was the one who broke. Now, of course, as you can imagine, there are many factors here. But at the heart of it, I misunderstood my responsibility in light of the coming of the Lord. I thought it meant run. James says, idiot. It means wait. Just like the disciples who were given the great commission to go out and make disciples of all the nations, but wait until the Spirit comes in Jerusalem so you don't stuff it. Now, it's true, I'm the first one to say that some people do need a fire lit underneath them to get them going, and that is important. Right, lazy people are likened to slugs in the Bible who are good for nothing and help no one. But others, like the church that James is writing to, needed to be reminded that we are on God's time, not ours. We might be in a rush, but he's not. And so the fact that the coming of the Lord is at hand should not make us agitated, but patient, and motivate our rest in him along with faithful service. And here is the greatest hypocrisy of it all. And if you were to watch someone in ministry who is frantically doing the work of the Lord, and you were to compare their life with the life of Jesus as he went about doing the work of the Lord, you would assume, just by looking at them, that we're the ones who had the most important ministry to undertake. That we were the ones who had the weight of the world on our shoulders. But in truth, we're the ones who lack patience. As a symptom of our lack of trust in God to accomplish his work through us. And this is particularly important for those of us who are task-oriented, because our God is primarily relational. The gospel, it reconciles us to God as Father. It reconciles us together as brothers and sisters. And when the Lord returns, he wants to see us relating in a way that reflects his purpose for us as family. Not a bunch of laborers, it's family working together. And that is why James calls for patience in light of the Lord's return, and then grounds this command in yet another command that applies to our relationships with one another. And you'll notice it there in verse 9. You can read that with me. He says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And again, I want you to notice here, the judge is standing at the door. And what's his concern? Don't argue with each other. Now, my dad, when he got home and my sister and I were fighting, it was almost like he wanted to lift the ante and show us where the real fight comes from. And he'd be able to pull the belt off in one quick swipe. And sometimes we'd be mucking around and we'd hear Dad's truck turn up and everyone straightened up. That's what James seems to be saying to the church. The judge is standing at the door, so do what? Stop arguing with each other. Get along. Because that's what our Father wants to see in us when He returns. And by way of final example, James says, look even to the example of the prophets. Look what he says there in verses 10 and 11. He says, as an example of suffering and patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. What a way to finish this beautiful little section of scripture. He says, think of the prophets who we know endured patiently, who we know received their reward, all in light of the Lord's compassion and His mercy. And what an example the prophets are. From Isaiah, who rejoiced in the revelation of the coming of the Savior, still 8 centuries away, while he preached to a people without the eyes or the ears to understand him. Or Jeremiah, who faithfully spoke of the restoration of Israel that was going to come long after his death and the enslavement of his entire generation. Or Ezekiel, who laid on his side for a total of 430 days to illustrate the 430 years of God's patience with Israel to bring about their salvation. Of course, we could go on and on and on. But the point is, we consider those blessed who patiently endured for God's sake. No matter what they had to face, we all agree now they're the winners. And they're our example. And you know, what a privilege that James would say to the church, look to the prophets, because we now have an opportunity to be like them and be where they are if we can follow their example. And the spirit of the prophets is perfectly reflected in our Lord Jesus, who patiently bore all the sins of mankind from the first Adam to the last, who at just the right time came into the world, patiently endured all the stresses of life without losing his temper, who was always on his Father's time, never in a rush. In fact, we're never told that he ran anywhere, but always walked, patiently bearing with his disciples, bearing with his enemies, bearing criticism, bearing betrayal, bearing pain, bearing loss, whether he was tired, hungry, or thirsty, patiently waiting for his time to carry his cross and lay down his life to set us free so that we could be like him. And be empowered by his Spirit so that he could produce the fruit necessary in us to prepare us for the work that he was planning to do through us. And now, here we are.
add another 2,000 years to his patient endurance, working through his people so that we can rest in him as we reflect on his compassion and his mercy toward us, trusting that he will produce the right fruit at the right time, so long as we sow to please the Spirit and not the flesh. Being patient, firstly, with ourselves. Right? Trusting that in Christ, we are enough. We're not justified by works, but by faith in him who gave his life to redeem us. Knowing that it is to his glory to put his treasure in jars of clay. So be patient with yourself. Secondly, be patient with the mission. Make the most of every opportunity. But trust that as one plants and one waters, God will bring the growth. And only he can do it. In light of that, be patient with God. He will do the work in his time and according to his will. And being patient with each other. But in all of our relationships within our families and especially within the church. Why? Because we are his body. And if we are not patiently united as one, we make him out to look frantic and divided. But instead, we're told, be completely humble and gentle and be patient with one another. Knowing that as God defined love for us, in 1 Corinthians 13, he began with, love is patient. Like our Savior Jesus, who displays his perfect patience with us as an example for those who will come to know the love of God through us. Church patience is the ability to endure difficult circumstances well so that we can keep our integrity and maintain our relationships so that we can honor God. In light of his return, to reward those who have patiently waited for him. So if you're in need, as I am, for God to produce that fruit in you, I encourage you to pray with me now that God would do what he promised to do in us and produce the fruit that we so desperately need to remain faithful to him in light of his return. Father, we pray for your Spirit to help us to see. Pray for you to help us to believe what you have promised to us about your work in our lives by the power of your Spirit to make us more like Christ. God, we are prone to be distracted and to be busy, and to be distracted. And I pray, Lord, that we as your people would be marked with patience. That we would trust in your work in and through us to accomplish all the work that you've prepared in advance for us to do. And that by being patient with each other, we would reflect the gospel of our Lord Jesus and wait for him. to do the work that He promises to do in and through us as we remain faithful to Him. God, we pray for this blessing in confidence because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.